Hey geeks, welcome back to our den. As always, I'm joined by my geeky twin Lee. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited today because we have a very special guest, Master Chef Dorian Hunter. Hi, Chef. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us and coming on. I'm a huge fan. I rewatch your season all the time of MasterChef, so I'm so excited to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
My first question for you is, what motivated your decision to start cooking and then audition for the show?
As far as motivation for cooking, I've always cooked. I grew up cooking. My mom kind of introduced me to the kitchen at around 12 years old. So cooking was something that I got exposed to very early on. And I found that I really enjoyed it. And that was my hustle for many a years. Then I went to culinary school when my son turned he was about 8, my oldest son. Mm-hmm. And from there, I worked in New York and I absolutely loved it. And then years later, my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer and passed away, unfortunately. And I just figured, you know, in the midst of grief and when you go through something like that, you just like, you know what, you throw caution to the wind and you just, you know, you almost get, I personally got to a point where I was just tired of being tired. And mm-hmm. I was looking at my last ditch effort. If it doesn't work out, then I'll just work, you know, a regular job and not worry about cooking or whatever, you know, I'll just let it go.
Right.
And I went and I auditioned, and I mean, the rest is history. It was just me giving myself one more chance, you know?
Right.
You know, just stepping out on faith, just giving myself another chance, and it paid off tremendously. It
did. I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I lost my parents at a young age too. I lost my mom when I was 6 and my dad when I was 8.
Yeah.
So, but you had an episode where you made the pink champagne cake in honor of her. I remember that episode. So.
Yeah.
You've done 2 cooking competition shows. The other, you were on the Great Soul Food Cook-Off, and I love seeing you cooking the dishes that, you know, Black people grew up with. And why did you feel it was important to compete on that show, even though you've already won the title of America's Master Chef?
I wanted to go on that show because it was to me, it was more of an even playing field. Mm-hmm. You always want to be able, competition to me is a battle with me. It's not a battle with the other competitors. Mm-hmm. And even though I won MasterChef, who wouldn't want to be in a room with an all Black cast cooking food that's very familiar to everybody right. in the room? Unlike MasterChef, where there's a wide variety of cuisine, that was definitely something that was specific to my culture and to represent our culture, you know, in a different mm-hmm. light. Like, we don't get to see soul food cooked the way that it was cooked on a show. So that's one of the things that really made me want to be a part of that. You know, you don't see shows like that. They right. that one, I think, was probably the only one. Like, you really don't get to be a part of something like that. So I couldn't turn it down.
Yeah, absolutely right.
What did it mean to you to be the first Black female winner of MasterChef?
Me personally, it didn't really dawn on me right away of the weight that carried. You know what I mean? Because I'm the oldest. you know what I mean? It was so many other things that I was. And even me and my husband had talked about that. But at that time, we didn't even think I would win. I mean, I was just going on and seeing what would happen. You know what I mean? Like, we mm-hmm. had no clue that I would win. But now when people say that, I really take my win. I don't take it for granted. I don't misuse it. I try my hardest to stay as humble and as clean as I possibly can. Because I do know that I am representing us, and I never want to do anything to misrepresent who we are as a community, you know? Mm. So it means a lot. It is a big responsibility. I will tell you that, because there's a lot of times when you see stuff or people say things especially on social media or at, you know, during the win, you know, you see what I got ripped a lot. But you can't, we can't, I always tell my daughter, you can't do everything everybody else do. I can't go off because then I'm labeled the angry black female. Or somebody who's not appreciative of whatever. Now that would, I, to me, I feel like that would never be said about anybody else. But because of the way society looks at black women and how they will label you aggressive or whatever, I've taken the high road many a times when I've dang near bit my tongue off. But I'm very cautious. I know a setup when I see it. And I just try to be respectful and always keep in mind that I'm not just representing me and my family, but I'm representing everybody.
That's very true. So we have a fan question from Twitter user Miss Pat. How were you able to deal with the pressure of cooking dishes that would be taste tested in front of the world?
You really don't. In some cases, you really don't think about that because of the pressure of the show. Of both of them, actually. With MasterChef, it's so intense to where you don't think about that. You just think about the people in the room. It doesn't dawn on you that what they say is going to affect you outside of being in the studio. Now, for the Great Soul Food Cook-Off, I was very nervous about that because that's what I do, right? And then when you get critiqued, that will definitely stick. You know, if I'm going up against somebody that's making, you know, Italian food, of course, somebody who loves Italian food may not like soul food. So that's a given. But when you got two people going head to head who making the same thing and somebody say something negative about your food, then it's kind of hard to come out. It's kind of hard to recover because they can mold the, you know, TV has a way of molding people's judgment of you. And they may never taste your food, but now you labeled the person who can't make, you know, X, Y, and Z. They don't know that. They don't know you just had a bad day and that was just, you know, in the midst of competition. No, you can't make that because they said you can't. So it was more pressure for me on the Great Soul Food Cook-Off than it was on MasterChef. And on, when I was on MasterChef, I was still grieving my mom's passing. She hadn't been gone that long. So my mind was, yes, I was there cooking, but people don't realize that I was also in the midst of grief. So I was all over the place. That's why the tears was flowing. That's why, you know, the emotion was high because I wasn't on top of grieving. I had to deal with competition. So it was a lot going on. A lot of the show, personally, I don't even remember because I was so disconnected, but still able to perform. Ain't that weird? It's weird.
That is so weird. Do you ever go back and watch that? Do you ever go back and watch your season or no?
No. Okay. I haven't seen all of the Great Soul Food Cook-Off or MasterChef. Nope. Or Beat Bobby Flay. I was on that too. I haven't. It's weird seeing yourself on TV.
Yeah. That's so interesting that you said it's like you're labeled that now. Like, she can't make mac and cheese. It's just like, I know how to make mac and cheese.
I know how to make macaroni and cheese. That's what they said. Wasn't nothing wrong with that. Like, yeah.
Is there a dish that you make that's only for your family that you won't make at like a restaurant or something? Like you have a recipe that's passed down just for your family?
My mom has my family has a peach cobbler recipe that will never leave our family.
Oh.
It'll never leave. My brother actually is the king of making that cobbler. And we've toyed with trying to... when I say toy, it's merely been talked about, but it's just something that's really special. And we just choose to not like, we'll keep that for ourselves.
That's nice.
That's pretty much the only thing that I can really think of as far as the only thing that I have not really ventured off and really made for a lot of people. I think I could maybe three. Is that Phyllis tart. My family hasn't ever even tasted it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just not something that I'm willing to give up just yet. Yeah.
So what is the most essential item in your kitchen that you can't live without?
Butter.
Really?
No, you can't do... I use a lot of olive oil now. Olive oil and butter. Butter being number one, olive oil being second. I just feel like butter just, I mean, you can't really go wrong. I bake a lot. You heard my oven going off. I'm getting prepared to do a wedding cake. I bake a lot, and I just feel like, you know, even though you can, I do a lot of substituting with olive oil. There's something about butter that just can't be beat.
Yeah.
But I love butter, but I do use a lot of olive oil.
We have another fan question from Superfan Talia. She wants to know, after winning your season, did the doors automatically open up for you, or do you still have to go out and like find those opportunities?
Not a door. Oh. No door open.
Oh my
God. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say no door open. Now before I won, I was I made carpet. I was a what they call a creeler. So I was working in a factory, and after I won and I came home, my husband says, you know, you can't go back to your job. Like, you know, that's over. You can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So what we've done now, as far as the show does if there was doors open, they weren't open for me. Mm-hmm. Everything that I do now, me and my husband have built, we've done it all on our own. And we've been very blessed to have a circle of friends, and I've been blessed to meet people and just really doing a lot of networking on my own. Now is my life the same as it was before? Oh no, not at all. I get to do what I love to do, and that's cook. I get to teach classes on Zoom, and you know, I get to meet a ton of people. I travel a lot. I'm on my way to Japan in less than a month to go cook. So, I mean, those types of things, yes, they happen. But what I thought would happen did not happen. I thought that, you know, the world was just going, oh, she's the first and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that didn't happen. Not at all. Nope. You got to work. You got to do. You still have to do. You know, people think, well, you won and you got all this money. Well, Uncle Sam always, you know, Uncle Sam gonna get what he need from his nieces and nephews, right? He gonna get his portion. So it's not even about the money. It's about using the platform to further your brand. Mm-hmm. And I went from just being a carpet maker to becoming a brand. And me and my husband have worked very, very hard to push that brand out there. I want to be a household name. You know, I want everything that everybody else has. It's coming a little bit harder for me, but it's happening. It's happening. Mm-hmm.
So when you go out to eat, where do you go? Like, what are your favorite type of restaurants to eat at?
Ooh, I love ramen. A good ramen spot is like hands down the best. I eat absolutely everything. I'll try anything. My family is big on Asian food. Just anything hibachi. We love noodles, that kind of thing. Most people would think that I was like some soul food connoisseur. No, not at all. I don't judge people's food when I go out. If you have good service, I'll be back. The food can be mediocre. I don't even care. It's all about the service to me. And the ambiance of where I'm eating at. I can go to a Jamaican spot that's like a shack and enjoy the food. As long as everybody is talking, they're friendly, I'll go back all the time.
They say the best places are the holes in the wall. So
you know what? The best places are the holes in the wall, but if there's no cars in the parking lot, stay away from them.
That is very true. Well, you being a ramen lover, I'm sure you're going to get your fill for when you go to Japan.
I cannot wait. And I love street food. I love street food. So I plan on, you know, my stomach can be wishy-washy sometimes, but I plan on eating as much street food as I could possibly consume.
So, you know, you said you're a baker. What's your signature dish, your dessert and your entree?
Ooh. A signature dish. I always tell people when they ask me that, it's almost like asking me, what kid do I love the most?
Oh.
Like, it's really hard to say. I love to make short ribs. I love oxtails. Those are some of my biggest requests from clients is short ribs because they saw it on the show. And oxtails because they, you know, everybody loves an oxtail. I feel like. At least my clientele does anyway. But as far as desserts go, I can bake anything.
Yeah.
You know, I can almost bake anything. And if I haven't baked it, you know, I'm willing to put forth a good effort to do it. But there's very little that I can't bake. I don't really have a favorite thing. That's kind of hard because I love to cook. So
yeah, bacon. I love bacon, but bacon does not love me. That's like a science I cannot figure out.
It is a science, I will say. Yeah, it's definitely a science.
Mm-hmm.
When you're designing a complete meal, what factors do you have to take into account, and how do you achieve that harmony and balance?
Right. Most chefs draw, but I cannot draw. So I think a texture, color, and how if the food match. I have a big thing with matching food. I had a client, for example, I had a client who was a foodie. And I put together a menu for him, and he was fine up until like a couple of days before his event, and he ended up having dressing, fried catfish with like a etouffee, and it just didn't sit well with me. And I'm like, dressing with fish? Like, I don't know, like, that don't make sense to me. But when we made it, it worked. Like, it really did work, because you have a protein, then you have that gravy type of a, you know, combination that most people like with dressing. And I was like, I would have never thought of this, because to me it didn't match. But I try my hardest to stay away from same color. Another thing, like, you ever see a plate and the whole plate is the same color?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you don't. I try my hardest to stay away from stuff like that. And I try to gear my clients away from doing that, because if I don't like the way something looks, it makes it very hard for me to present it. And if I don't present it right, then it won't taste right. Mm-hmm. So I got to be confident that what you're getting is going to be absolutely amazing. But if I look at it and be like, yeah, this ain't washing, I don't like it. It's going to affect the way it tastes, because I'm not going to give it to you that, you know, like it's going to be the bomb. So I try to stay away from same colors. And usually when I have a client call me, I start thinking, even if it's 3-4 months out, I start thinking about their meal on site soon as we get off the phone call. And I'll go through the process of it. I may make the meal for my family. We go through it, pick it apart. And then I'll, you know, up until the day that we serve it, you know, we'll be critiquing it the whole time. So it's a long process, but.
Yeah. That kind of goes into our next question. It's from a fan from our community, our lovely community, B Brown. She wanted to know how do you incorporate your specific creativity into a dish and make it uniquely yours?
Right. So for me, I really do a lot of French fusion into my soul food, using French techniques, because I am French trained, right? And it just brings a different taste and a different feel to the food that I make. I think that's one of the things that I find to be a little different than your traditional soul food. And not only that, I use elevated ingredients, more expensive ingredients, where you may have chicken, I'm using duck or Cornish hen. Where you may have like a roast, I'm using fillets or a really nice cut of beef. People love catfish. You really can't get away from that. But I will offer like Chilean sea bass, or, you know, something, you know, on that line. Just kind of getting you out of that comfort zone, but still giving you, you know, that same comfort that you would get from traditional soul food.
Hmm. Interesting.
So what advice would you have for someone going into the cooking industry, or if they had to do a cooking competition show? Like, I know you said that it didn't open as many doors as you thought. Would you recommend they go that route, or just striking out on your own, building your own thing from scratch?
Right. No, I don't. I don't regret doing the competition. Not at all. I just feel like if you are, you really have to have tough skin. You honestly do. Like, you can't go in timid. Go in being who you are. People can call crap when they see it, and you just have to be okay with all of you, because it's gonna take all of you in order to get through it. There's things that happen. You have to be disciplined, and I don't mean just in your cooking, but just in your attitude and in your demeanor. You have to be humble, because people will try you. It's competition, like on and off camera, people are going to try you. And I would say, give yourself a chance. If you feel like you have what it takes, go do it. What's going to happen? Like, either you're going to make it on or you're not. What's going to happen? And even if you don't, what is it going to change? It's not going to change anything. I've seen people go into these competitions and they don't make it, and then they make it like they are the biggest failures ever. Well, what does that say for you before you went? You weren't a failure then. Why would you be a failure now? It shouldn't change anything. It should not. And somebody told me, especially when I left the Great Soul Food Cook-Off, somebody told me this, because I didn't win that competition. They said the loss is sometimes the best win. And I can tell you that for me, coming off of that show, even though I didn't win, it was the biggest boost that my career needed. I didn't win that competition, but I got a big boost in my clientele after I got off that show. Bigger than the one I won.
Yeah.
To be totally honest. Like, I have clients, I travel from Arizona to Atlanta every year, all summer, fulfilling, you know, parties and whatever. I go to South Carolina, North Carolina, dang near 4 times a year, just off of clientele that saw me on that show. So don't think that if you don't get on or something happens, don't stop pushing. Like, you can't give up on a dream. I always say, you just put it as a different priority. You know, maybe you got to work your job a little bit longer, but that don't mean stop cooking. You know what I mean? That don't mean give up. You don't give up. You just keep pushing, and you keep, you know, networking, and you keep finding those little things. I still have to do it today. Still have to do it today. So, you know, you never stop grinding. Your body is going to hurt. Your body is going to, if you want to be a chef, be prepared for your body to ache. Because it hurts bad. Like, I have these hand massagers that I put my hands in, and I travel with them. And people are looking at me like, what is that? I'm like, dude, I've been cutting for 12 hours straight. My hands have had it. My back hurt, my ankles hurt, all of it. So, you know, be prepared for that. It's a glamorous job, because TV makes it look beautiful. But when you're in the midst of grinding, the hours are long, and people don't like to pay.
That's interesting that you got more clientele off the soul food show. I remember it just happened to be like on my Hulu, and I was like, oh, a competition show with soul food. And then you came on. I said,
a lot of people were surprised. It's like, Chef Dorian, she just won Masters.
Another fan question we have is, so what's the next steps in your chef journey?
Oh, I am in the midst of writing yet another cookbook. It's a baking cookbook, so it's going to be more intensive. I just got finished writing, you know, Not Your Average Southern Side Chick. Just really trying to promote these books, and just really, it's really hard to say. And the reason why I say it's really hard to say with, my next steps are, is because this isn't my journey, right? This is a place that God put me. I had no clue I was going to be here. And I know it sounds weird, but I am watching this thing like everybody else. I have learned to step back and let whatever's going to happen, happen. What would I want to see? I would love to be back on TV judging. I would love to be hosting a show of some sort. I would love to do that, but I don't know what God's plan is. And whatever his plan is, I'm for it. I made a promise. Whatever you do, I'll do it. And so far, it's worked out very well for me. So I try not to insert myself. And I talk about that in my Not Your Average Southern Side Chick. You know, I had all these plans and none of them came to fruition. And God is doing what he wants to do. And I can't complain because it's all been in my favor. So I don't know what the next steps are, but I would love to be back on TV as a judge. That's what I'll be doing in Japan, actually.
Oh, nice.
Judging the competition. Yeah. So, you know, it'll we'll see. Like I'm watching like y'all. Like
well, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Definitely looking forward to it. So last question that we have at our show is, who is your favorite superhero and why?
Ooh, my favorite superhero. My favorite superhero. It's going to sound very corny, but I would have to say my husband. And The reason why, and I'm not being all mushy, but... The reason why I say that is because he's very stealth, right? You don't see him very often, but you see the effects of him. And I cannot be who I am had it not been for him. And even now, like, nobody would see me on social media, honestly, if it was not for him. Nobody would see me on these other shows if it hadn't been for his encouragement and his okay, right? Like I didn't ask for permission, but sometimes we get into our heads and we will get so far into our heads to where it will make us not move. But he's that person who's like, Dorian, no, you're going, you're doing it. You know, get out of your head. You're good. Whatever happens, happens. And we're going to be fine regardless. You know, you're going to come back and nothing is going to be any different than it was than what you left. If anything, it's going to be better. Because that was one of my things with the Great Soul Food Cook-Off, just coming off of a big win. Why in the world would I go on to another show and have all these people say, oh, you lost, so you didn't deserve that win on MasterChef, right? You know what I mean? Like, that was one of the things that played in my head. And he was like, it don't matter what they say. They can't come take the trophy and the money is, you know, we've already, you know what I mean? So what difference is it going to make? And I think for me, I need that person for me. And he's always been that. He's been extremely supportive. And I promise you, the man has more jobs than the law would allow, you know, and still... he finds time to support me. And that, to me, is the biggest superpower ever. So I would have to say.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you. Yeah, we want to thank you for coming on and taking the time and chatting with us. And we want to let all our listeners know, all our geeks know, head over to your website, chefdorian.com, pick up your book, book you, and show you some love.
Yes, thank you, Chef, for joining us. And until next time, Love and Lee signing off.